Y'all will keep that a secret, right? Yes, she's watching online. No, really, she's my favorite mother-in-law. She is. Amen. And I appreciate her. You know, in our house, when it's fun to be had, it's usually, in most homes, it's a kid that starts some fun, right? In my house, it's mother-in-law. Amen. And she's a blessing. I love her and appreciate her. Pastor's wife for over 30 years, almost years. And she's a blessing. I love her. Take the night, please, and go with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 15, in God's Word tonight. Mm-hmm. I feel a sermon on 1 Samuel, chapter number 15. We're going to begin with verse number 10 in this passage of Scripture, and trust you'll follow along tonight as we read. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me, I've set up Saul to be a king, for he turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and cried unto the Lord all night." When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth this, then, this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "Thou wast little in thine own sight. Thou wast not made the head of the tribes of Israel over the Lord, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord said, sent thee on a journey, and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, and them until they be consumed.' Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said, Samuel, "Yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, gone the way which the Lord hath sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the ox, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord." Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken from that of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Let's pray tonight. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd help each one of us to get the truths that are found in your word tonight. Oh God, use us, I pray. Bless us, we ask. Help us, I pray tonight, to hear thy word, Lord, as you gave it, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us know a bit about Saul, who was the first king of Israel. And I think all of us know a little bit of how Saul was a goodly king. He, in stature and endurance, he was taller, higher, better looking than most, and he was the favored choice of the people. And so they put him to be the king. He became Israel's first king, even despite the warnings of Samuel, they're choosing a king. God wanted to be their king. God wanted to be the one that they listened to, but the people wanted a king. And so they chose Saul and became the first king. The vision which we read tonight is God, through the Samuel, telling him that he needs to go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy the Amalekites. God said, take them out. They have destroyed the people. Now, by the way, God loves everybody, but I want to tell you something. There is some sins that God is very serious about. There are some things that God just cannot pass. There are some things that if they're done, God gets very serious about. And so I'm saying to you tonight that Saul, he chose to do a partial obedience to the command of God when it came to destroying the Amalekites. He destroyed a few things. He killed some things, but some things he left undone. And but Saul had a problem that I think we need to see tonight that caused Saul to be rejected as king. And Saul had a mentality that I think is important for each one of us to understand in the Christian life, because this mentality that Saul had can very easily creep into our minds. It's a mentality that is not of God. In fact, an adverse, a negative, ungodly reaction from God when it came to the point of Saul and his approval of Saul and his actions. God came here to Saul, and through Samuel the priest, he said to Samuel, came to him, and he said, now Saul, what have you done? Have you followed the command of God? And Saul unequivocally and very confidently looked at Samuel and he said, yeah, I did exactly what God wanted me to do. I did it without any, I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And Samuel comes to him with this question. He says, then what meaneth the bleating sheep in mine ears? He said, if you did all that God commanded you to do, then why are there still these sheep around? And Samuel said, well, I figured that we could take these sheep and take the good ones and use them for the house of the Lord. Now, can I tell you that this is a mentality that Samuel had, this mentality, this idea that he had, that you could okay to do wrong as long as you replace it with doing a few good things. Are you with me? This mentality Saul had, he said, now we're going to save these sheep for sacrificing unto the Lord. We're going to bring them to the house of God, and we're going to sacrifice them to God. Now, can I remind you and tell you tonight that Scripture teaches us very clearly in this passage against that mentality. What God is not looking for is our obedience in Him. That is what God is looking for. He's not looking for a substitute of obedience. You see, Saul was really doing this to salve his own conscience, to make his own guilt that he didn't obey God. He said, I may not have obeyed God, and he was closing his eyes to that. Can I tell you what? That's dangerous to close your eyes to what God wants. That they close their eyes. God said, do this. Well, really, we close our eyes and we give God a substitute. Let me tell you something tonight. That mentality creeps into Christians sometimes. And may I tell you, the Bible's clear. It is better to obey God than to sacrifice. It's better to obey God than to sacrifice. God looked down from heaven and he saw what Saul was doing. And he said, Saul, that's not what I asked you to do. What I asked you to do was to destroy all those Amalekites. I wanted every sheep, everything destroyed. And Saul said, yes, but God, I gave you a spiritual substitute. Now, can I remind you that Cain did the same thing? Cain went with his fruits and vegetables, and boy, they look good. Now, I like vegetables. Amen. I like vegetables as long as you mix them with cheese. I'm doing good. Amen. I like my vegetables. You said, you like Brussels sprouts? Yeah, I do. Salt and butter all over them, and they're wonderful. Amen. But, and I like vegetables. And Cain brought to God, he said, now, God, I want you to take awe and honor the sacrifice that I've given you. I've given you the best of my vegetables. I've given you the best things. Tonight, there is no substitute for just simply obeying what God told you to do. And what God told us to do is what he told us to do in his word. And you know, a lot of Christians are getting these warm and fuzzy feelings because in their mind, they're not giving God obedience. They're giving God what they think, what they have, instead of giving God what God wants. That mentality gets a lot of Christians in trouble, just like it did Saul. Preacher, I know I should be in church on Sunday, but I can go worship the Lord up on the mountain. Gag me with a spoon. I'm telling you what, that is wrong. Christians have this idea, well, I can do whatever I want to do as long as I do some other little spiritual thing that I like. I want to tell you something, it's called obedience. It's called disobedience. And so you faced God with disobedience. Saul, what you did was disobedience to an almighty God. Oh, it didn't matter. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how many religious candles you light or how many good things you do or how many old ladies you walk across the street. Hear me tonight. God's not looking for our sacrifice. He's looking for our obedience. It is better to obey. This, and I think Saul was acting out of guilt. Saul was acting out of guilt, and when Samuel came to him and said, "Did you obey God completely?" Yeah, he knew clearly he didn't. He knew unequivocally he didn't obey, but he answered confidently because he was substituting it for God. Now hear me. You'll never be right with God unless you get past this idea, I can't give God what I like. I have to give God what he wants. Amen. You know, I don't understand tithing. Do you know that? I don't really understand tithing. But I understand this. God said to do it. Amen. God said, take that first 10% of increase and give it to me. God says, if you do, I'll bless you. And yeah, a lot of Christians get around it and say, oh, well, you know, preacher, I don't really tithe, but I do all these other good things. Well, let me tell you what they're trying to do. They're trying to salve their conscience out of disobedience for God. And may I tell you what? There's a holy God that sees right through it. It's holy God. Don't get caught up in that, Christian. Don't get caught up. Saul was trying to spiritually make himself feel good because of his disobedience. And do you know what he was only doing? He was putting further in his own eyes. He was only blinding his own eyes to the obedience of God. There's a second thing he did. Verse 15, notice. And they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." You know what he said? He blamed the people for it. "Oh, preacher, I would obey God. I would do what God wanted me to do, but you know, it's their fault that I couldn't do what I should do." You know, a lot of people get caught up in that trap. A lot of people want to look at somebody else to blame. It feels better to know somebody else is at fault rather than accepting my own responsibility. It feels better to say, "You done this, and you made me do this, and because of your actions." Hey, I want to tell you something. We live in a country that's full of that today. Teachers want to blame the administration. Administration want to blame the teachers. Parents want to blame the teachers. And everybody wants to blame somebody else. What would our world be like if everybody just accepted their own personal responsibility? It'd be a wonderful thing. Amen. I want to tell you something. When a child grows up and they have not learned to accept their responsibility, it's always going to be somebody else's fault. Their fault. "You did it. The devil made me do it. Some other person made me do it. I would serve God if it weren't for them." For that, I want to tell you something. That is the devil's lie, and it will ruin us. It ruined Saul. Somehow he got caught up in that ministry. Do you know what he should have said? He should have said, "Samuel, you're right. I am wrong. I did God." And said to God, "God, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And I now will go and do exactly what you told me to do." You know, that's the only response we have. That's the only response we have. As a person continues to keep this mentality, though, and not change it, can I tell you what? It makes them twisted. Makes their mind think things that aren't even true. Because they have supplemented being Christian life for some warm and fuzzy ideal feeling that cropped into their brain. And I want to tell you something. It ruins God's people. You know, I've learned to just accept when I did the wrong thing. Amen. Amen. But oh, how easy it is to point the finger at somebody else. I'll never forget years ago, my daddy had a laundromat, and he had a bill changers in the laundromat. And the old bill changers were not as sensitive as the ones today. And so somebody took a counterfeit dollar bill and put it in a bill changer. And got four quarters from it. And they must have done their laundry with that. I don't know. But he saw that. He tried to bring it to the bank, and he didn't know what it was. And brought it to the bank. The bank said, "No, sir, we can't accept this one's counterfeit." So he took it and he put it on his drawer on top of his dresser so that in the future, whenever there was another counterfeit, he could recognize that counterfeit dollar that would come through the bill changer. So he took that dollar, and I'll never forget, I was a little boy, and boy, I wanted some candy one day. And I knew there was a dollar bill, but I didn't know it was counterfeit. And I went up onto my dad's dresser. I saw that dollar bill, and you know what I did? I took that dollar bill, I got on my bicycle, I went down to the local store, and I'll never forget, I bought three candy bars with it. Man, you couldn't buy one candy bar with that dollar today. And I bought three candy bars with that. And I'll never forget, the clerk behind the counter looked at it. He said, "That one looks a little different." And you know what? This shock came into my soul like, he knows I got it from my dad's dresser. He knows all about me. He can read me like a book. I took that dollar bill. The next morning, I was sleeping in bed. And crack of dawn, I opened my eyes and I looked out. There was a police car sitting in front of our house. Can I tell you what? I could see prison. I could see the guillotine, electric chair. It all crossed through my mind. I could see it all. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. You know, it's funny because my dad knew exactly what had happened. He knew. He came to me that day and I knew. I thought, I won't get the beating of my life. And then Social Services is going to have to come out after my dad gets done with me. And you know what? I had to say, I'm sorry. Can I tell you what? That's the best thing I could do. He made me earn a dollar and go back and bring it to that man. You know what? I could have said, me? That was me. Was that me? Look at all the other good things. Well, I'm a good son. You know, that was kind of the mentality that Saul had. And may I tell you what, Christian, if you want the blessing of God, ask God to take that mentality away and never let it hit your mind. With somebody else, preacher, it's their fault. If I didn't have the wife that I had, if I didn't have the husband I had, boy, I could be so much of a better Christian. Have you ever stopped to think that God gave you the one to help you become a better Christian? He did. He did. It's not others. It's us. And Saul wouldn't do it. There's a third thing I want you to notice, Saul. Notice verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, feared the people and obeyed their voice. You know that some people do things that they shouldn't do because other people pressure them to do the wrong thing. And when they pressure them to do what they should not do, they yield because they don't want to offend that person. See, whenever we get in these little traps in life, and they are traps, they're satanic traps, God wants us to say, no, I'm going to do what I should do. I'm going to do what I should do. I'm going to do the right thing. Years ago, I was with a lumber company here working my way through Bible college. Payless Cashways. How many of you remember Payless Cashways? Payless Cashways. Man alive. I've forgotten about them, but I worked there, and I was, for a while, they had me in different jobs, but for a while, at that time, I was the phone answerer. And if you called the phone and said, hey, I need some of these, can you give me a price? You'd have to send them to somebody. I answered long. And it was just preparation for beer. And some of you understand what I'm talking about, but anyhow. And I took that, and so my manager came up to me and said, you know what, there's some fence parts that we have ran out of in our supply, but Lowe's has some, and I want to give you some money. He gave me cash. He said, I want you to go up there, and I want you to buy these parts, and he gave me a list so that we could stock them in our shelf because we are out of them. He said, now, whatever you do, don't tell them that you're bringing them to Cashways. I said, hold on right there. I said, if they ask me what I'm going to do with them, I'm not going to tell them I'm building a fence. I'm going to tell them that I'm bringing them to Payless Cashways to put on shelves because we're out of stock. Well, he was backing up. He was backing up. He was doing the crawfish dance. He was backing up. Well, no, wait a minute. No, I didn't mean to lie to him. And I wanted to say, sure you did. Sure you didn't. But I'll tell you something. I'll be honest with you. I felt a little pressure. I felt a little pressure inside of me to make that decision. Maybe the $1 bill incident gave me a little bit of change in the fence post incident. I'm saying this tonight. I'm simply saying that there is pressure from others and in this world to do things that we know we shouldn't. And you know, either we're going to offend a person or we're going to offend God. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather offend a person than offend God. Because that person didn't die for me on the old rugged cross. The Lord Jesus did. He is the one I owe all my loyalties to in what he did. And Saul feared the people. He's afraid of them. He was afraid. Well, I have to, if I have to change a little bit of what I believe. Whenever I'm around certain people, I do a certain thing. And when I'm around other groups of different people, I do a different thing and act a different way. Hear me, that is a trap of the devil. That is exactly the net Saul was in. And do you know what it brought him? It brought him the rejection of God. Brought him the rejection of God. God expects us to just simply obey. And you know what? It is us who makes the Christian life hard when we want to do what we want to do and not obey the Lord. But I want something. If you will say, God, I just want to obey you, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you'll find God's great joy and blessings on your life. Nobody likes to offend other people. Nobody likes to tell somebody else, I can't do that or I won't do that. Nobody likes that. It's not in human nature. But it is in our spiritual nature to please God and to say, God, I'm going to obey you. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to obey than sacrifice. An old man who worked on pine, Florida, he was tapping trees for turpentine. One day his faithful dog in charge of his lunchbox, his faithful dog was in charge of his lunchbox, and he commanded the dog to watch his lunchbox until he returned. He was away. The fire swept through the pine trees, and the noble dog, obeying the master's order, died with that lunchbox right next to him. Weeping, said, I always had to be careful what I told that dog to do, because I knew he would do it. You see, that's the kind of thing God's looking for, who just says, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Oh, the great peace of God that is there when we obey him. It always will come back on us for good. Even though the decision in the beginning may be hard, it will always come back on us for. In the North Pacific, there's that little island called Iwo Jima. The dry volcanic ash surface was likened to the landscape of the moon. And this tiny but vital piece of land, our U.S. troops paid the price. Some 21,000 casualties were in our war with Japan. For the men who took it, it was never a question of feeling an inadequacy or inadequacy. It wasn't about courage. It wasn't about lack of courage. It was about simply obedience to a command. Obedience to a command. Oh, I want to tell you something. Obedience to the command is simply what God wants us to do. Oh, may I say, just adopt God's mentality. And you'll see God bless you. You see God bless you. Even the little things in our life, even the little things that seem so insignificant, God's teaching us, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Choose obedience in everything you do. And parents, I want to encourage you to raise your children in that mentality. Raise your children with this mindset. It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. You know, sometimes you tell a child what to do and they miss part of it. How many of your kids do the same thing? You tell them what to do and they get the part of it they like. But somehow they're not able to grasp a hold of the part that they don't like. And when they don't, it's a teaching moment when you can go to your kids and say, hey, this is exactly what you should have done. Because you see, young minds are being formed to become older minds. And when they're older minds, they have to grab a hold of this principle. To obey is better than sacrifice. Tonight, that's my challenge to you. And it's not some do that. It's that those who do that realize there is a blessing in living their life by just simply doing what they should do at the time that they should do it. Well, it's not always a popular decision. It's not always the decision we like. And when we don't do it, we want to tell somebody else it's their fault. But oh, hear me tonight. Choose to follow Christ. I'm done with the message tonight. But I want to tell you something. You know when Jesus went to the cross? He died on the cross. Do you know that he had to do that and go out of obedience to his Father? He had to go to God and say, God, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you say, I'm yours. I'm just going to obey you, God. And whatever God said, the Son of God, Jesus, was going to do. Do you know that obedient step of Christ is what enabled him to die on the cross so that we might be saved and that we can have an eternal home in heaven because of the obedience of one man. And I say to you tonight, let's follow in the steps of Jesus in our life and just follow him. Whatever he says, let's just mount up our heart, gird up our loins, gird up our heart and say, Lord, that's what you said, what I'm going to do. We'll find the great blessings of God. Let's bow our heads tonight.